Burning Birds. I don't hear you birds very clearly this morning. Let me just... I got a hum on the line now. Wow. Jeez. It's okay. It's all right. Birds, we have an all-bird week for you here, and this is another all-bird show. In fact, this morning we have a game show for birds, and what we're going to do, we're going to give you a chance to identify. This is either an actual acorn woodpecker or someone imitating an acorn woodpecker. Are you ready? Okay. All right. There we go. All right. What do you think? True?
Incorrect.
No, it is not. You are off to a great start. We'll come back and tell you what you won after this.
Graceland.
If it weren't Paul Simon's birthday, I'd be bummed. It is the title track off an album called Graceland, and he was born in 1941. An opportunity to play all kinds of good stuff, and we're going to do it today. As we welcome you into a Tuesday, this is the 13th of October. It's Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's Gary Lee Wright. And thanks for hanging out. I have to laugh. I'm sorry. I was going to share with you some background on something, among other things, something called Mercury Retrograde, which has to do with mechanical failures and communications snafus. And about 10 minutes ago, the printer failed. You're in the studio. I can't print anything, so we're going to just wing it. That's all right. That's the way it goes. That's almost more demonstrative than if I were reading something to you. So anyway, I thought we'd get into that today. There's a whole thing. Astrology, you know, is a pseudoscience. It's been around a long, long time. It dates to when there was no TV. There was nothing to do but go out and look at the skies. And the first astrologers and the first astronomers were the same people. Now, since then, those two schools of thought have kind of diverged. I particularly think you can actually be both. I don't think you have to pick one. Anyway, where I'm headed with all this is there's an astrological phenomenon that is about to settle in on what is already, shall we say, a bizarre month in our history. I don't think this has ever happened before, this particular configuration of planets. And I'm going to stop right here. Listen, astrology and the planets and all this stuff's been going on forever. It certainly has been going on for hundreds of years in every election cycle. What I'm going to share with you is really out of my head here. And we'll see. We'll see what you think. But I know it's on, I've seen it on the internet. And I looked up some stuff yesterday and I think it was particularly helpful. So anyway, stuff that's flowing around, I thought maybe we would talk a little bit about that today. All right. Then we'll give me a chance to play some bizarre background music here as we go through stuff. So that, I think, we'll dip into on the show today. Let's see here. We'll get to this at some point. It was just as corresponding with Aaron, the news baron, who's going to join us at some point. The California Republicans, not all of them, but some of them, apparently put up some fake ballot collection boxes in California, and they got caught. I don't know what they were trying to get done here. So anyway, we're going to talk about that. Right? That's coming up on the program today, and whatever else we can concoct. There are some interesting things that happen on this day in history. We will get into that today. I just saw page two. Okay, we're going to be good. So let's do this. Let me. I'm going to settle back here. You want to hear about this whole astrological thing? I'll start. I'm going to modernize this a little bit. Let's see what we can do. Let's see if I can put a little music. Okay. All right. So let me start with an optical illusion. All right. Whenever you talk about Mercury retrograde or Mars retrograde, what's a retrograde? All right. Well, it's an optical illusion. Let's say Microphone Jones and I are driving up toward Wisconsin, and we're headed for the Mars Cheese Castle. All right. And we're in a hurry to get there. You know, we're ready for some cheese. That's all it is. All there is to it. So we're in the left-hand lane on the Edens there, and to the right of us in the right-hand lane is a car full of people. Well, they're not traveling as fast. They're not as hungry. So what happens is, again, from where we are in the car, MJ's driving. I'm riding shotgun. I look to my right, and he hits the gas. He hits the gas. You ready? Oh, there we go. Now, picture what just happened from my standpoint. You and I are riding shotgun. When MJ hit the gas, it looked like that car that was to the right in the right-hand lane. It looked like they backed up. Are you with me? Take a second. It does, right? It looks like it backed up. Now, we know that it didn't actually back up. And that is an optical illusion. All right. All right, that's point one here on the hit parade. That particular phenomenon is called parallax vision. You with me? You don't have to write any of this down. All right, so. Okay. So the point one is an optical illusion created by where you are versus where something else is. Okay. Now we get to the planets as they orbit the Earth. And we go back to the very first astrologers who were astronomers, as I said, and they were the shepherds out there on the desert, right? The three wise men or something. Well, I don't know what they were out there. Probably not that wise, but there wasn't anything to do at night and they were watching the sheep. So they look up in the sky and they are observing what they didn't know the difference between a planet and a star. Basically, a star twinkles and a planet doesn't, something like that, or it's the other way around. As they looked, they saw, well, okay, there's a bright something up there, and it's here tonight, and it's there tomorrow night, and it's there on a third night, and then something weird happens. It appears to back up. Wait, what? All right, here's what happens. Because of the way that the orbit of the Earth around the sun, and again, we now know, since Galileo, that the Earth orbits the sun and not the other way around. But as the ancients observed, they didn't know that. So what they saw was called a geocentric system, an earth-centered system. Are you with me? All right. Doesn't matter what this stuff is called. But what happened a zillion years ago at some point is happening now. All right, it happens about every 3 months. Mercury turns retrograde. What does that mean? All right, we're going to go back to the ancients out there on the desert, and they picked a planet out in some circumstances on a bright night, or I should say a cloudless night, a clear night, a night without air pollution. You could see Mercury with the naked eye, I'm told. So they're watching this planet. And as I said, on one night it's here, and then it's moving on, and then it's moving on, and then it's moving on, and then it seems to stop in the sky and then back up. And these shepherds are out there going, what did you, yeah, did you see that? What they were observing was, again, an optical illusion. Now, we know that the planets don't back up, but because the planets' orbits are intertwined there, and the way we observe them, that's all different than we know it to be in the actual orbiting. You with me? Okay, I'm going to cut through this. You know what I'm saying. It's an optical illusion. All right. When that happened, that was the first observation of something that happens about every 3 months, 4 months. Mercury turns retrograde, I think it's three times a year, for about 3.5 weeks at a time. Right? You with me? All right. The urban legend about Mercury being retrograde is that it affects things that are communicative in nature. The printer suddenly stopping. The printer's out of ink up in the studio here, right? It picked today to do that. All kinds of communication snafus happen. We observe them. They're always going on, but we tend to see more of them when Mercury is retrograde. What has all this got to do with you? It's something to know about. If I hadn't known that Mercury's going to turn retrograde, in a day or two here, I would have been more upset that we couldn't print anything this morning. All right. Now, the deal is, and I'm looking at the my notes here, 16 after the hour, if you're asleep, we'll try to even make it worse in a moment or two. I looked some of this stuff up on the internet just to see what people are talking about, and I did see a lot of sort of, I thought it's kind of nonsense, people saying, oh my God, Mercury's going to be retrograde, blah, blah, blah. And then we're going to talk about Mars being retrograde. So Mercury turns retrograde by and large on Wednesday, right? Which means that slowing down again, if one were observing this, and you could, if it were, you know, possible to do that, you'd see that it appears to slow down, and then it appears to back up. And that process, for extra credit, is called stationing. When a planet appears to slow down and then back up, it's called stationing, right? So that Mercury, that's going to happen starting on Wednesday, and then it's going to turn direct on November 4th. What does that mean? I don't know. I can tell you that the last time I think, and this is a checkable fact, which you'll also see flying around the internet. I remember this election. The election day in 2000 was really, an odd sequence of events. As I remember, Mercury was retrograde, turning direct, something like that. The moon was void, of course, which I could explain if you care. All that happened, and that, of course, was the election in which people didn't know who they were voting for. B, then it was dealt out. It was Gore and Bush dealing it out. And people that will tell you that there's something odd about this year's election, what's going to happen, I have the slightest idea. But it'll be interesting to observe this. So that's the one thing that's going on. And then, oh, my goodness, Mars has been retrograde, and it will station on the 14th of October. Play music? Okay.
She ran to the police station. When the papa found out, he began to shout. He started the investigation. It's against the law. It was against the law. Oh, what your mama saw, it was against the law. Ooh, the mama looked down and spit on the ground every time her name gets mentioned. The papa said, oh, if I get that boy, I'm gonna stick him in the house of detention. Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, it's the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. Get me released, we is all on the cover in Newsweek. And I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
When the radical priest came to get me released, we were all on the cover of Newsweek. You, yes, we were. It's Paul Simon and the song called Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard on Paul Simon's birthday. Wow, I could do a whole show with nothing but Paul Simon music, and it'd be all over the map. His stuff with Art Garfunkel that he wrote, not that Art contributed that much, but different periods of time. And just working with these different artists. He did some work in Africa and we'll play some music there. Anyway, Paul Simon, as we dip into it here. 21 after the hour, it's the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show from Chicago. We just try to cover what is coverable. I'm going to do one more lick on this whole retrograde thing. Why? Because you're going to hear about it if you dip very, very shallowly, is that a word? Shallowly into the surface of some of the things that are being said about the election. And this does come up. So anyway. All right, back. We talked about Mercury and when planets go, Mercury being one of them, the most easily identifiable. The ancients thought that Mercury ruled communications and stuff like that. So the thought is when a planet goes retrograde, that something about that is off. It's different. All right. Mars, as you know, is the planet of war, the planet of aggression, the planet of energy. When Mars turns retrograde, that's a different sort of spin on those things. I can tell you, as I mentioned, Mars has been retrograde. And one of the things is my late friend, Daryl Martini, the Cosmic Muffin, who's an answer in one of the editions of Trivial Pursuit. He was a state astrologer of Massachusetts. I don't know how they managed to get that into state law, but anyway, he shows up. He would say research it for yourself. And the thing with Mars being retrograde, the theory is that the attacks when Mars are retrograde are not very successful. For example, I think you can read somewhere, I think when Napoleon attacked the Russians in the middle of winter, Mars was retrograde. All right, you can look that up. That's the idea. So I think you're going to find, again, I'm an amateur at this. I've just been an observer. I think you're going to see that some of the more broad brush attacks leveled in the next few weeks, whatever that means, the aggressive stuff, I think is not, it's an attack with a dull sword. You with me? All right. I think that is going to be going on. Having said all that, so we have Mercury about to turn retrograde, and then it'll turn direct in time for the election, kind of. Mars has been retrograde, turning direct. I looked up in a couple of spots, and I saw the chatter say, oh, it's going to be absolute chaos. Well, it's already chaos, is it not? Okay, that's my final thing about this. Interesting to research all this. Communication is always a something when the Trumpsies are around. And as I said, this stuff's been going on for a long time. To circle back to what probably is more immediate reality, some of the stuff does have to do with voter suppression. It absolutely does. Are you with me? All right. Okay. All right. Okay. So there you go. That's the deal on retrograde stuff. It's a pseudoscience. I can't tell you why I think it works, but I've observed some of this stuff for a long time, and it seems to fall into that category. So let's see here. I want to. I'm struggling here. We have a bunch of screens here. I'm trying to read here. I know we want to talk about some of the stuff that happened today in history. Can we do that? Oh, we could. Oh, look at this. I actually had a screen open up. Let's see here. Ooh, this is good. Apple introduced an iPod capable of playing video on this day in 2005. Before then, iPods only had the capability to play music files. The first song ever to be played on an iPod was the... is this right? Oh, Sparkson, you sent it to me. Was the disco house hit the Groove Jet by Spiller. Should we commemorate that? Yeah? Okay. All right. I'll tell you something, though. My right hand is on some Paul Simon, so if I, on an iPod. Alright, I got it. I spill her. I never liked this kind of stuff. Wait a minute. All right. I'm bagging it. Here's some Paul Simon. Ooh, that's almost a segue. Wait a minute.
Why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away in my well-lit door. Mr. Beer Melly, get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty. Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and oh, my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model? Now that my role model is gone. He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, there were incidents and accidents. There were hints and allegations. If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, and Betty when you call.
It's on the song off the Graceland LP from Paul Simon, You Can Call Me Al. Some work in South Africa on that one. It's half past the hour. It's Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago, and we will have another attempt if we could to... All right, Spiller. We're bringing Spiller back here, Groove Jet. I have a theory about stuff that you play in the morning. If you have, the biorhythm thing, right? You're talking about the right exercise beats per minute anyway. I'm sure that somewhere between Groove Jet and Spiller and Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel and God knows what else, we have the right heart rhythm for you this morning. So let's see if we can... rescue something. I point out that if you are in any kind of a mechanical environment, you may have stuff, everything from your car suddenly not working. I know my car died yesterday. What? I needed a new battery, and that happens all the time. It's odd, though, that you'll see that when things go wrong like that, they pick this particular week, too. So anyway, check that out. Should we move on here? I'm going to make a note. We're going to talk about it at some point before we get out of here. We'll talk about the Kennedy-Nixon TV debate. Wow, that happened on this day in 1960. I remember it well, kind of. Before we do that, we join Aaron the News Baron. Damn it. Let's hang on. I just swore on the radio, too. Oh, okay. Aaron, I just cut you off. Oh, Lord. Say what? I'm going to call him back. Voter suppression. Somewhere they're censoring our ability to talk about it. Here's the first hit from Simon and Garfunkel. First one I ever heard.
A winter's day in a deep and dark. From my window to the streets below, on a freshly fallen silent shroud of snow, I am a rock, I am an island. I build walls and fortress deep and mighty that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain. I am a rock. I am an island. Don't talk of love. It's sleeping in my memory. I won't disturb the slumber of feelings that have died. If I never loved, I never would have cried. I am a rock, I am an island. I have my books and my poetry to protect me. I am shielded in my armor, hiding in my room, safe within my womb. I touch no one and no one touches me. I am a rock, I am an island. A rock feels no pain, and an island never cries.
I remember being in the backyard of my house in Indiana. We What year was that? I would look it up. I'm 66, something like that. Anyway, Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel on the very first radio hit from them. I Am a Rock. It's 25 before the hour, and we're here on the very solid ground of the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show for Tuesday here. If you're just joining us, a fair amount of stuff going on today. How quickly will your absentee vote be counted? There's some analysis of that today. Hearings, of course, going on in Washington on the Supreme Court. Johnson & Johnson, this is not unimportant, probably have more of this than fewer. Johnson & Johnson halted a vaccine trial yesterday. One of the volunteers got sick. We don't know whether it was a person who had had a placebo or someone who had had an actual dose of the thing. Anyway, they halted the trial. This was in phase three. And that's going to happen as we have some of the testing coming forward here. So that made the news. And then, let's see here. I think we have Aaron the News Baron. Aaron?
Hey, Gary. How's it going today?
So well until I came to this headline. The California Republican Party admitted to placing deceptively labeled official drop boxes for mail ballots. Do you know this? Didn't this happen? I'm not making this up. Yeah, what do you know about it?
Well, they literally, if you can believe it, they literally set up cardboard boxes with no locks on them,
right,
and labeled them as official drop box locations.
And so, go ahead.
So, I mean, I don't know much more about this. I know the GOP was responsible for setting them up. I don't know which specific GOP officials. I don't know if they had a plan to pick up ballots and what they planned to do with those ballots. But they did list the locations of those specific boxes online. So I'm assuming it's kind of like a tandem effort to just have some cardboard boxes out there labeled as official with no locks and then say, hey, well, these boxes are out here. People are going to be dropping their ballots here in case you want to know type situation.
So I don't, I get it. I mean, you and I are, we're operating with the same facts, okay? I just don't know what they were up to. Let me read from the wires here. Yesterday, California Secretary of State Alex Padilla and Attorney General Xavier Becerra sent a cease and desist order to tell them to stop doing that, Aaron.
I mean,
they also urged voters who might have unknowingly dropped off their ballots in the receptacles to sign up with the state's voter tracking website to ensure that their vote counted. So let me get this straight. You and I are working with this in real time. If I accidentally did that, I voted, and I'm told that some poor person, okay, is listening to us somewhere in California, and he says, "Oh man, I dropped my ballot in one of those boxes." So we are telling him that he will now, what? He goes on some website and says, "Go and then get my ballot out of that box." Is that what we think is going on here?
Honestly, basically, yes, basically, to answer your question. But obviously, this is nefarious.
Right.
How nefarious it is, I don't know. I don't know if there's a concerted effort to say they got together and they said, okay, we're going to put these boxes out here. Once we get those ballots, we're going to throw them away.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's this, I'm assuming there's something along those lines. But, I mean, if you have cardboard boxes with no locks,
I know,
and you're labeling them as official,
yeah,
and you're broadcasting their locations, nothing good can come of that, right?
This guy's name is Hector Barajas. He is a spokesman for the California Republican Party. Mm-hmm. He said the party would continue to distribute the boxes without adding any label identifying them as explicitly as Republican ballot. But get this. Barajas, he said that, this is a quote here, he said that they could use Santa bags if they want. What? There's nothing, he said, I'm quoting this guy, There is nothing in any of the laws or regulations cited in the advisory that indicates that private organization drop boxes are not permitted. What? I don't understand. How do you have a private drop box for a mail ballot? Said Barajas, who blamed the Democrats for blocking anti-harvesting legislation. What the F is that, Aaron? Anti-harvesting legislation? Go ahead.
Sorry. So there's a law. There are laws in many states that allows people to, let's say you have grandparents, to collect their mail-in ballots and deliver them. Right. But there's a max number that you can, there's a max number of ballots that you can do that for. And above that number or above that threshold is considered ballot harvesting, where you just going around, getting everybody's mail-in ballots, helping them fill them out, et cetera, that kind of thing.
So of someone who's helping people legitimately vote, okay, I got it. All right.
But above a certain number, then they consider that a little more nefarious.
Okay, well, and if you get up, Barajas said, the way Democrats wrote the law, if we wanted to use a Santa bag, we could. But I don't think that's true. Do you want to ring in on that? Even if you were taking grandma to help her vote, you couldn't or could you?
I guess the concept is more so if you're helping your friends and family and that sort of thing. That's one scenario. Another scenario is when you're just going to random people. Like for instance, to give you like a parallel answer to that question, it is illegal for someone to go on Twitter, someone famous, and say, "If you vote for Trump or if you vote for Biden, I will do X." That's illegal.
Right.
So once it gets into that level of you're just reaching out to random folks, pushing them to vote for one party or another, you're influencing their decisions, then it gets into that swampy waters.
All right. Mr. Padilla, this is the, I'm going to say the Attorney General, said that he received a report on Saturday that a metal box with a misleading sign suggested that it was an official site to drop off mail-in ballots. It had been placed in front of the Freedom's Way Baptist Church in Castaic, which is northwest of Los Angeles. And then last week, Aaron, a supporter of a Republican congressional candidate in Orange County, Michelle Steele, posted a picture of himself on Twitter dropping off a ballot at one of the party's boxes. I still don't understand what the... But if you drop, if a Republican voter drops off drops a ballot off in one of these fake boxes, it's still for it to count. It has to go from there to somewhere else, right? I mean, I'm not understanding what they were up to here. Go ahead.
You're right. It's not clear cut as to what their intention was to do with those ballots. But I think it kind of more so goes into the land of what are we allowing third parties to do? What are we making it easier for these individuals who want to sow discourse, who want to affect the results? How can we make it as easy as possible for those individuals, if they so choose, to come in and sway?
Yeah.
So I think if you have these unlocked boxes that are made of cardboard, where in the middle of the night,
you're hung up on cardboard, Aaron.
I'm hung up on cardboard because they're the party that's saying these are going to be illegitimate ballots.
Right.
And we're making it easier for, let's say, even if it's not an organized effort, if you're saying, look at this box that I'm casting my ballot in, look how easily you can get into here, wink, wink, that's sort of what I think they're going towards. Not necessarily them doing anything abruptly nefarious, but say, hey, wink, wink, look at what's going on, wink, wink.
Look how easy it is to do this.
Exactly.
Anybody could do this. This is an odd turn of events. It's coming up in a quarter before the hour here. I have to say, you know, that I mailed my ballot in, and I was going, this is kind of related, I guess it is. I had gotten the whole protocol, and you mail your ballot, and I got it all, and I filled it out, and we did all that on the air. Then when I went to mail it, the protocol was that I was supposed to, or I was invited to go to one of 50 boxes that are distributed around Chicago, 50 wards, and that ward corresponds. It's the ward that I live in here. Anyway, so I go, and it happened to me a local high school. And I went up there looking for this box, and I finally I didn't see it. I drove around the high school. I know pretty well. I guess it could have been inside. I don't know. I got to think about that. Why, if you're making it more convenient, why move a box that's outside that you could access from your car, right? I don't know. I mean, I have no. Anyway, it turned out that I bagged that whole idea, and I mailed it from a mailbox at the hospital. And I noted the pickup time. And so, anyway, subsequent to that, I got a note. I mentioned this yesterday. I got a note. I got two notes, one that said we got your ballot and one that said we didn't get your ballot. But my point is that this whole notion of where you mail your, where you put your ballot, you know, even the official stuff that came to me, and there was a, you know, there's a picture of what it was supposed to look like back to you and your cardboard ballot there, Aaron. Yeah. I mean, it could. I don't know. I guess there's a thinking here that it should be really easy to do this year, and yet I think I'm agreeing with you. It's now seeming odd, no matter what. So,
Yeah, that's true. And I actually, as a side note, I got a second ballot in the mail.
Did you? Oh no. You're in the city, right? City of Chicago?
I am.
Wow, you got two ballots?
I did.
Oh, no. Wait.
And I was jokingly considering spilling it out.
Let me just illustrate that if I could.
Incorrect.
Yeah, I think that is that's a bad idea. No kidding. Wow. Wow, yeah. Aaron. I don't know. I don't. The hair is standing up on the back of my neck. Yeah. Well, let's try this. Why don't you fill them both out, and on one, vote for Durbin, and on the other, get Willie Wilson is on the ballot. Let's see who wins.
Right.
I mean, you can still vote for, you know, any of the presidential nominees. But I'm kidding. What do you attribute that snafu to?
You know, we talked about this early on where I had an email, or we both got those letters in the mail saying,
right,
you haven't registered to vote.
Yeah.
And then we actually were, in reality. And then I got an email, you got an email saying that your vote wasn't counted, then it was counted.
Mm-hmm.
And up until this point, I was kind of putting it up to, you know, bureaucracy, you know, problems. But yikes, I don't know.
Yikes, that is the correct response. Yikes is right. Well, and the other thing, and I'm looking at this, it seems to me like one of the things I got came from Jesse White, Secretary of State from Illinois, and then another from Chicago Board of Elections. That's not exactly the same entity. So, So what are you going to do with your two ballots?
I'm going to try to find one of those cardboard boxes.
You know. Right here, okay, right here, this is a virtual show. Right here we want to play Rod Blagojevich dealing it out, right? He said, what can I get? What can I get for one of those ballots? You know, there's a lot of money to be had there. Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I think this is, we will continue monitoring this. So, oh, man. Hey, you know what would be great right now? If I could pull up a piece of paper that tells you that the Trump Organization has now taken a dominant position in the American cardboard industry. Would that work? I mean, that would work. You know, it would. Aaron, have a good day.
You as well, thanks.
Be as many people as you want to.
Son, Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey.
learn to help yourself. Look around you, all you see are sympathetic eyes. Stroll around the grounds until you feel at home. And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Hiding in a hiding place where no one ever goes. Put it in your pantry with your cupcakes. It's a little secret, just the Robinson's affair. Most of all, you've got to hide it from the kids. Coo-coo-ca-choo, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Sitting on a sofa on a Sunday afternoon, going to the candidates' debate. Laugh about it, shout about it when you've got to choose. Every way you look at it, you lose. Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? Our nation turns its lonely eyes to you. What's that you say, Mrs. Robinson? Joe to Joe has left and gone away. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey.
Paul Simon on his birthday from the movie The Graduate, which was a movie that was so very, very, very influential for people my age. And the deal on that song was that's all they had, nothing but the opening line, here's to you, Mrs. Robinson, and Simon had to construct the whole thing for the movie, including the now legendary lyric, where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? Our nation turns its lonely eyes to you. I hear that pop up all the time. I think he was onto something there. It is 6 before the hour. It's the wrap-up of the Tuesday Pandemic Pirate Radio Show from Chicago at bleat.network. Whatever you heard, we want to know what you think, what you have to say. It's radioanything@gmail.com. You have an iPhone or anything, really, a Samsung, one of those, whatever voice memo shows up as, cut a voice memo and attach it to an email, radioanything@gmail.com. Or you can send us a toll-free anytime, 24/7, 844-220-3300. All right, and we want to know what you think. I would be particularly interested, I'm sure I speak for Aaron, if you were having any indications of any, shall we say, irregularity in voting. I don't know, whatever. Whatever's happening in your polling place or your world. Information is ammunition. Let's just figure out what's happening here. Yeah. I'm pondering what Aaron told me about the two ballots. That's pretty interesting. So, all right. Anyway, we're gonna do some stuff about that this week. We are gonna talk about birds. We have at least one ornithologist, I think, coming on Thursday. And we may have this other fellow coming on. Did I play that for the beginning of the I believe the guest who imitates an acorn woodpecker.
Kabrak!
Is he?
Kabrak! Kabrak! Kabrak!
Okay.
Kabrak,
I don't know why we can't all do that. In fact, I'm willing to lead. All right, we'll put on masks. We will do it. We'll socially distance. We'll go out in the alley. All of us will stand out of the alley and do that together. Thus wrappeth the day today. This is the day in which they did the third presidential debate in the Nixon-Kennedy campaign. This was, I think, the first split screen on TV, speaking of virtual debates. I know the first one that was a bust. People, this is notable. People that saw that debate thought that Kennedy won it in the first one in 1916. People that heard it thought that Nixon won it. So, how about that? Yeah, I'll tell you what I thought. That's right. This widecast produced, although she may not always admit it, in Chicago by Natasha Rodriguez.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? Say, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I think to myself, what a wonderful world.